Welcome to the Deep Dive, where we take your sources, peel back the layers, and really unearth the most compelling insights, helping you become truly well-informed. Today, we're embarking on what I think is a fascinating deep dive into a European retail giant, Fielmann Aktiengesellschaft, or Fielmann Group, as they're known. We've received a pretty comprehensive investment analysis on Fielmann. So our mission for you today is to cut through the jargon, really get a handle on the essence of their business, and uncover what truly makes this company a standout in an industry that might seem, well, kind of everyday on the surface.
Indeed. And this deep dive, it's really all about understanding how a family-controlled business, one deeply rooted in vision and hearing care, is strategically transforming itself, you know, from a powerful regional leader into an ambitious global player. We'll be extracting key nuggets from financial reports, industry analyses, and their strategic plans to truly understand its past successes, its current challenges, and its bold vision for the future.
Right. So if you've ever wondered how a company becomes a market leader, how they navigate economic headwinds, or even expand across continents, well, you're definitely in the right place. Okay, let's unpack this and dive straight into the Fielmann story. Let's maybe start right at the beginning. Who exactly is Fielmann? It's a name that's pretty much synonymous with eyewear in Europe, isn't it? Can you maybe paint a picture of their foundational business? What really makes them pick?
Okay, Fielmann is at its heart a German-based family-controlled enterprise, and it's grown to become truly dominant in European optical and hearing aid retail. What's absolutely central to their success, I think, is their deeply integrated business model. See, they don't just sell products. They actually design them, manufacture them, and then sell a wide range of vision and hearing products themselves. This means they control much of their value chain, you know. From the initial concept and design all the way to the customer walking out of the store, this deep integration, it gives them this, well, unparalleled level of control over quality and, crucially, over costs.
That integrated model, it really does sound like a powerful advantage, definitely in terms of control.
Yeah.
But what does that translate to in terms of just sheer reach?
Yeah.
In the number of customers they actually serve?
Well, as of recent reports, Fielmann serves approximately, get this, 28 million active customers. Primarily across Europe, but increasingly beyond that now. And they manage this vast customer base through what they call an omni-channel platform. Now, this isn't just about having like an online store. It's a truly seamless blend of digital sales channels. Think online ordering, virtual try-ons, digital consultations may be combined with a really extensive physical network. Over 1,000 retail stores across 16 countries.
Wow, 1,000 stores.
Yeah, it's far from just a local chain. It's this vast interconnected operation, providing multiple touch points for the customer. What's fascinating here, I think, is how they manage such a large customer base and store footprint while somehow maintaining consistent quality and those high service standards. That's really a hallmark of their brand.
Okay, so vision care and hearing care, those sound pretty straightforward, right? On the surface, at least.
Yeah.
But how large are these segments for Fielmann? And what specific products within them are really driving the revenue?
Vision care or optics is definitely the foundation. It's the largest segment by far. In fiscal year 2023, just the core category of prescription frames and lenses alone grew a very healthy 9%. That generated an impressive $1.543 billion in sales.
Just frames and lenses. Wow.
Exactly. And the momentum continued into 2024, with preliminary results showing another 7% rise in European prescription eyewear sales. So this indicates that even in what looks like a mature market, Fielmann is still finding significant ways to capture growth in its core business.
That's quite a feat, really, for what often feels like a saturated market. Beyond that core business, what about those supporting categories within optics? Are they significant contributors or just, you know, small add-ons?
Oh, they are far from insignificant. These supporting categories actually demonstrate a pretty robust and diversifying product portfolio within their core optical business. Sunglasses sales, for instance, they jumped an impressive 19% to $84 million in 2023. And contact lenses, which are a really valuable recurring revenue stream, right? They grew 10% to $167 million in 2023. So these aren't just little add-ons. They represent substantial and growing revenue streams. They contribute meaningfully to the overall optical segment's health and Fielmann's overall market breadth.
Okay, and hearing care. That's an area I've heard is growing rapidly for them, almost like a newer frontier. How substantial is that becoming?
You're absolutely right. The hearing aids business is a rapidly growing secondary segment for Feelman. It's showing truly, well, outsized growth. Sales for hearing aids jumped an exceptional 29% in 2023 to $129 million.
29%?
Yeah, and it continued with a strong 10% increase in 2024 for their European hearing aid business. This kind of growth positions hearing care as a key engine for future expansion. It capitalizes on similar demographic trends to the optical market, you know, like an aging population. And it's a very smart move strategically because they're leveraging their existing store footprints. They're integrating hearing aid studios within their optical stores,
okay.
Which creates substantial operational synergies. It allows them to apply their proven strategies from the regulated optical industry to the, well, similarly complex acoustics market, driving efficiency and profitability there too.
Right. Leveraging that existing infrastructure makes a ton of sense. Less overhead. Is there anything else on the horizon? Any new revenue streams or services they're exploring?
Yes, actually. There's a nascent, but I think highly strategic revenue stream emerging from their expansion into primary eye care services. This includes initiatives like their eye health checkup. In 2024, this generated approximately $40 million in sales. What's particularly noteworthy here is that this figure was largely driven by their recent expansion into the United States.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, because such services are often more integrated into the optical retail model in the U.S. than they traditionally have been in Europe. This really shows a strategic shift on Feelman's part. They're moving towards becoming a broader healthcare provider, not just a retailer. It positions them to capture more value, you know, by moving further into the medical aspect of vision care.
Speaking of the U.S., Feelman started in Germany, right? So how has their geographic presence evolved from that home base? It sounds like they're on a much larger global stage now.
Oh. They've undergone a really significant transformation in that respect. They've evolved from being primarily a domestic leader in Germany into a major pan-European player, and now, importantly, an emerging transatlantic force. Their historical stronghold, where they hold a commanding market-leading position, is the DACH region. That's Germany, Austria, and Switzerland.
Right, the DACH region.
Exactly. Here, they are incredibly well-established, a household name, really, and have deep market penetration. But while this region remains the foundation, it's definitely no longer the sole focus of their growth ambition.
Clearly. They certainly haven't stopped there. So what's driving this aggressive international push? What's behind moving beyond those traditional stomping grounds?
You're right. It's been very deliberate. A cornerstone of their Vision 2025 strategy, which is now nearing completion, has been aggressive internationalization. And the strategic pivot has dramatically expanded their geographic sales mix. International sales now account for an impressive 37% of their total revenue in 2024.
37%. Up from what?
Up from just 21% back in 2018. So that's a huge shift. In the final quarter of 2024, that figure even reached 40%. This just underscores the rapid pace and, frankly, the success of the strategic shift. Beyond the DACH region, they're actively gaining significant market share and establishing strong presences in countries like Spain, Italy, Poland, and the Czech Republic. It shows their model is replicable in diverse European markets.
And the U.S. entry, that's a massive leap, isn't it? It sounds like it fundamentally changes their whole global ambition.
Absolutely. Their entry into the United States in 2023, which they did through major acquisitions, marks a completely new and incredibly ambitious chapter in their global story. This isn't just an incremental step, it's a bold bet. It fundamentally shifts their market positioning from being just a European leader to a truly global contender. For you, the listener, this means understanding a company that is deliberately shaking up its own business model to seek new and substantial growth opportunities. It signifies a real willingness to take calculated risks to achieve a much larger scale and market presence.
Okay, so with all that expansion, why do 28 million people choose Feelman? What's their secret sauce? Their unique selling proposition that allows them to attract and keep such a massive customer base.
Well, their success is built on a really clear, consistently executed value proposition. Their guiding principle, famously known in Germany, is you are the customer, der Kunde bist du.
Right.
And this isn't just some empty slogan. It's a philosophy that really permeates their operations. It prioritizes fair, competent, and friendly service, regardless of a customer's budget. This relentless focus on the customer experience translates directly into consistently high customer satisfaction rates. They're usually at or above their 90% target level. That builds immense trust and loyalty over time.
That's fantastic for loyalty, no doubt.
Yeah.
But what about the price point? I often associate German companies with precision and quality, which, let's be honest, can sometimes come at a premium price. Does Seelmann kind of defy that expectation?
That's where it gets really powerful and, frankly, quite interesting. Seelmann has explicitly made itself synonymous with fashionable eyewear at fair prices, and they offer guaranteed quality at the best prices. This price leadership is a huge competitive advantage, particularly during economic downturns when consumers naturally become more price sensitive.
Makes sense.
For example, back in 2022, during a period of economic uncertainty, they even used what they called anti-cyclical price reductions in Germany. They did this specifically to attract new customers and gain market share when others might have been raising prices.
Interesting tactic.
It shows their pricing strategy isn't just about short-term sales. It's a strategic, almost defensive tool. It helps them gain market share during tough times, setting them up for faster growth when economic conditions inevitably improve. It's a very calculated long-term play.
That does sound like a long-term view. What else gives them such a strong competitive edge? There must be more to it than just price and service.
Their vertical integration is absolutely key. Key to their ability to offer those fair prices without sacrificing quality. Remember, Seelmann operates its own design studios and its own manufacturing facility.
Right, you mentioned that.
This gives them significant control over product quality, the speed of innovation, and crucially, costs. By producing much of what they sell in-house, they bypass many of the markups that other retailers have to deal with. In fact, more than 70% of the eyewear products they sell are actually their own brands rather than third-party labels.
70%? That's huge.
It is. And it directly supports their cost leadership. It allows them to maintain healthy margins while still offering those highly competitive fair prices to their customers. It's this powerful combination that creates a kind of virtuous cycle of quality, value, and customer satisfaction.
Seelmann really sounds like a company that's constantly in motion, doesn't it? Not just resting on its laurels. What's driving this continuous evolution and transformation we're seeing?
They're incredibly dynamic. Seelmann is actively evolving from what was, you know, a dominant but primarily regionally focused Central European retailer into a truly global, digitally integrated healthcare provider. That's a big shift. And this ambitious transformation is guided by their long-term strategic plans. The nearing completion Vision 2025, and the newly announced, even more ambitious, Vision 2035. These plans essentially lay out a clear roadmap for their future growth and their desired market positioning.
Okay, so what were the big goals of Vision 2025, and how successful have they actually been in achieving them? It sounds like it's nearly done.
Yeah, Vision 2025 focused on three core pillars: driving cultural change within the organization, investing heavily in digitalization, and pursuing that aggressive internationalization. The internationalization pillar, as we discussed, has been an unqualified success. Just look at the dramatic shift in their sales mix towards international markets.
Right, that 37% figure.
Exactly. Digitalization is also bearing significant fruit. In 2023, their digital sales channels grew by an impressive 17% to surpass $100 million in external sales. That now represents 5% of their total group sales. And this is particularly noteworthy because, get this, the broader German e-commerce market actually contracted by a significant 12% in that same year.
Wow, so they significantly outperformed the market.
Massively. Seelmann's performance really highlights their effective digital execution and the strength of their omnichannel strategy, even in a challenging digital environment.
Okay, so with Vision 2025 largely achieved, what's next? Vision 2035 sounds even more ambitious from what you're saying.
Oh, it absolutely is. Vision 2035 aims to build on this solid foundation, taking their transformation to the next level entirely. This new plan sets an incredibly ambitious goal, reaching 4 billion in sales by 2030.
4 billion euros.
4 billion euros, along with an adjusted EBITDA margin target of approximately 25% at the group level. This signals a really strong commitment to continued rapid growth and expansion. It positions them for the next decade of market leadership, not just in Europe, but truly on a global scale. It's a testament to their long-term vision and their confidence in their evolving business model.
Okay, we've explored Seelmann as a company, really understood its unique DNA, but they operate within a larger ecosystem, right? So what does the European optical retail market actually look like? Is it shrinking? Is it growing? What's its overall health?
It's a market that's, well, large, stable, and consistently growing, which is pretty much an ideal foundation for a company like Seelmann. It's actually the largest single eyewear market globally, accounting for about 36.6% of worldwide revenue in 2023. Its estimated value is quite significant, somewhere between USD 54 billion to USD 67 billion in 2023-2024.
That's a big number.
It is. And more importantly for the future outlook, projections show robust growth. Various industry reports forecast a compound annual growth rate, a CAGR, of between 4.0% to 7.3% over the next decade. This trajectory is expected to push the market's value to over USD 83 billion, maybe even up to USD 110 billion by the early 2030s. And crucially, demand for vision correction is largely non-discretionary and highly resilient. It's fundamentally healthcare related. People need to see, right?
Yeah.
Regardless of economic cycles.
Right. It's not like buying a new TV. It's essential.
Yeah.
So it's a growing pie and a resilient one. What are the big long-term trends that are driving this consistent growth in the optical market?
There are several powerful long-term trends acting as durable tailwinds for the entire industry. First, aging demographics. Europe has the highest proportion of elderly people in the world, about 19% over 65. The need for vision correction, especially for conditions like presbyopia, that's the age-related loss of near vision, it approaches 100% in senior populations. This is a significant, predictable, and frankly, ever-growing driver of demand.
A built-in growth factor.
Exactly. Second, digitalization and increased screen time. The pervasive use of digital devices, it's leading to a higher prevalence of vision disorders. We're seeing more myopia or nearsightedness in younger generations and increased digital eye strain across all age groups. This directly fuels demand for both standard prescription eyewear and also specialized products like blue light filtering lenses.
Yeah, I think we all feel that eye strain sometimes.
Tell me about it. Third, eyewear as a fashion accessory. This is a really powerful cultural shift. Eyewear is increasingly seen not just as a medical necessity, but as a key fashion item, you know, much like shoes or handbags. This trend gets amplified by social media, by celebrity endorsements, the involvement of luxury brands.
Right.
It encourages consumers to own multiple pairs for different outfits or occasions and to update them more frequently. This effectively shortens replacement cycles and increases the average spend per customer.
Makes sense. And finally,
Growing health awareness. More consumers are recognizing the importance of preventative eye care. That leads to more regular eye examinations. This benefits both the service side of the business, the eye exams themselves, and the product sales that often follow those exams. These underlying trends, taken together, explain why the market is so stable and consistently growing, even if it might superficially feel like a mature industry sometimes.
Okay, given those growth drivers, is this market dominated by just a few big players? Or is it still primarily a landscape of thousands of independent shops, like it might have been, say, decades ago?
It's actually a fascinating dual structure. We often refer to it as a barbell market. On one hand, it's still highly fragmented. You have thousands of independent opticians, and they still command a significant portion of the market. This reflects the local service-oriented nature of the business historically. However, on the other hand, there's a clear and accelerating trend towards consolidation. A few large vertically integrated players are increasingly dominating the landscape. The top five retail players in most European countries now account for over 40% of total sales. That indicates a significant degree of market concentration at the top end.
So, a real split. Where does Fielmann fit into that dynamic?
That's the interesting part. Fielmann is positioned strategically. They're not quite the fragmented independents, but they're also distinct from the absolute giants. They seem to be aiming to capture that consolidating middle ground, leveraging their efficiency against the smaller players.
What about online sales for eyewear? Are physical stores still absolutely essential for something as personal as prescription glasses, or are people increasingly buying them without ever stepping foot in a shop?
Well, physical stores remain overwhelmingly dominant in optical retail. They accounted for approximately 79% of revenue in 2023.
79%. Still very high.
It is. And this enduring strength is really rooted in the medical and highly service-intensive nature of the product. Think about it. Eye exams, accurate prescription generation, the precise fitting of frames and lenses. These typically require in-person professional services from a qualified optician. This inherent need for physical interaction gives companies with extensive physical networks, like Fielmann, a significant structural advantage.
Makes sense. But online must be growing.
Oh, absolutely. While brick and mortar is dominant, e-commerce is unequivocally the fastest growing channel. It has a projected compound annual growth rate of over 8.6%. The online channel's growth is driven by, you know, convenience, competitive pricing, especially for repeat purchases like contact lenses and the adoption of enabling technologies like those virtual try-on tools.
Right.
This dynamic strongly suggests that the most successful future business model isn't purely online or purely offline. It's a seamlessly integrated omnichannel platform. A hybrid approach allows a company to leverage the trust and professional services of its physical stores with the convenience and reach of a digital storefront. And Fillman's strategy, remember how their digital channels outperformed the contracting German market? That really validates this integrated approach.
So it's definitely not about choosing one over the other. It's truly blending them for the customer. But what are the biggest hurdles in perfecting that seamless experience? It sounds tricky.
Precisely. It's about leveraging the established trust and the professional medical services that only physical stores can reliably provide, with the convenience and broader reach that digital channels offer. The real challenge lies in harmonizing that customer journey, making sure data flows seamlessly, maintaining brand consistency across all touch points. Companies that fail to master this omnichannel imperative will likely struggle to compete effectively in the long run. It's becoming table stakes.
Is this a heavily regulated industry? And if it is, how does that affect competition, especially for, say, new entrants or those online disruptors trying to break in?
Yes. The European optical market is actually quite heavily regulated. You have national and regional health authorities setting strict standards, standards for product quality, safety, and crucially for the provision of professional services, things like eye examinations and the dispensing of prescription eyewear. This regulatory framework creates a significant barrier to entry. It's particularly challenging for online-only players who are trying to penetrate the lucrative prescription eyewear segment.
The prescription part is key.
Exactly. The requirement for a valid prescription, which typically must be obtained through an in-person examination by a qualified professional, acts as a kind of protective moat for established incumbents. Those companies, like Fielmann, that already have extensive physical networks and integrated healthcare services are shielded to some extent. This regulatory structure effectively slows the pace of disruption. It gives companies like Fielmann the time to adapt their business models and integrate digital solutions rather than being rapidly displaced by pure tech challengers. As you said earlier, this isn't a move fast and break things kind of industry. It's one built on trust, established professional practice, and, well, a cautious regulatory framework.
Okay, we've seen Fielmann's remarkable evolution and the broader industry dynamics. Now let's zoom in on how they actually stack up against their rivals. How truly dominant are they in their core markets, especially back home in Germany?
In Germany, their home market, Fielmann's leadership is, well, it's absolute and truly extraordinary. It's hard to overstate. Despite operating only about 6% of the country's optical stores, they managed to sell an incredible 55% of all prescription glasses by volume.
55% from just 6% of stores.
Exactly. Their value market share, which reflects the revenue they capture, is over 24%. This is just an astonishing testament to their per-store productivity. Each Fielmann store generates vastly more sales than the average independent optician. And this level of dominance isn't just confined to Germany. It extends across the entire DACH region, where they are also the undisputed market leaders in Switzerland and Austria.
That's incredible market share density. How are they doing in their newer expansion markets across Europe? Are they managing to replicate that kind of success?
They are making significant inroads through strategic acquisitions like buying Optica and Audiology Universitaria in Spain back in 2020. Fielmann rapidly became the number two player in Spain, which is Europe's fourth largest optical market. They now hold about a 10% market share there.
Number two already.
Yeah, it shows their ability to gain significant ground quickly in fragmented markets. They're also actively gaining share in other key European markets like Poland and the Czech Republic. Preliminary 2024 results showed double-digit sales growth in those regions, significantly outpacing the broader market growth. This indicates successful penetration and a clear pathway to establishing strong positions in these expansion regions.
Right. When you think global eyewear, one name probably comes to mind immediately.
EssilorLuxottica.
How does Fielmann, with its distinct German approach, actually compete with such a, well, colossal behemoth?
EssilorLuxottica is indeed the undisputed global industry leader. No question. This Franco-Italian giant boasts 2023 revenues over $25 billion, and they have a vast network of 18,000 stores worldwide. Their vertical integration is truly unparalleled, covering everything from cutting-edge lens technology to owning iconic frame brands like Ray-Ban and Oakley, and a huge retail empire including Sunglass Hut and Lens Crafters.
Yeah, everywhere.
Pretty much. Their strength lies primarily in the premium and luxury segments, driven by that powerful brand portfolio. Now, Fielmann, importantly, doesn't challenge them directly on brand dominance or luxury positioning. That's not their game. Instead, Fielmann focuses squarely on the value and mass market segments. Their competitive angle is a superior service and price proposition. This is a crucial distinction. They operate in different, albeit sometimes overlapping, parts of the market. It's not really a head-on collision, but more of a strategic positioning to cater to different customer needs and price points.
So effectively, they're playing different playbooks within the same broader industry.
Got it.
What about other major players, like Specsavers? They're also known for value, aren't they?
Specsavers is certainly a major competitor, absolutely. They're especially prominent in the UK, the Nordic countries, and Australia. They operate a unique joint venture partnership model with local opticians, and they serve over 44 million customers. So they're a powerful force in the value segment, much like Fielmann. However, Fielmann's corporate-owned, vertically integrated model potentially offers greater control over costs, operational consistency, and quality compared to Specsavers' more franchise-like structure. This difference in operational control could be a key differentiator, especially in terms of efficiency and long-term profitability.
Interesting difference in structure. And what about the online-first players, like Germany's Mr. Specs? Are they a real threat to Fielmann's omnichannel strategy, or are they more of a niche player still?
Well, publicly traded online-focused retailers like Mr. Specs have indeed tried to disrupt the market by offering a purely online model. However, their performance so far really highlights the inherent challenges of that approach in an industry that still heavily relies on in-person professional services. Mr. Specs remains significantly smaller than Fielmann and has notably struggled to achieve consistent profitability.
Right. Profitability is key.
Absolutely. This underscores the enduring importance of the physical service component, those eye exams, the precise fitting, the adjustments that Fielmann's integrated omnichannel model provides so effectively. It shows that for prescription eyewear, at least currently, a pure online play faces substantial hurdles. And this leads back to that fascinating insight. The market truly has a barbell structure. At one end, EssilorLuxottica dominates the premium and luxury segment through its powerful brands and extensive integration. At the other end, Fielmann dominates the value segment in its core markets, not through sheer store numbers, but through unparalleled operational excellence and a superior value proposition.
Leaving the middle squeezed.
Exactly. This structural dynamic places immense pressure on the undifferentiated middle market, which comprises thousands of smaller chains and independent opticians. These players often lack both the brand power to compete with EssilorLuxottica and the cost structure and operational efficiency to compete effectively with Fielmann. Fielmann's growth strategy seems very clearly predicated on systematically capturing market share from this squeezed middle, effectively consolidating a fragmented industry from the value end.
So what are the deep sustainable advantages, the economic moats, as they say, that truly protect Fielmann from this intense competition and allow it to maintain its leadership position?
Fielmann benefits from several really durable competitive advantages that act as strong economic moats, making it incredibly difficult for competitors to replicate their success. First, there's brand equity. In the DACH region, the Fielmann brand is just a formidable asset. It boasts incredible 90% brand awareness in Germany.
90%.
Yeah, and it's deeply associated in consumers' minds with trust, quality, and exceptional value. That level of brand recognition and positive association is incredibly powerful and, frankly, takes decades to build. Second, they possess a significant cost advantage. Their sheer scale, combined with their extensive vertical integration into manufacturing and their centralized purchasing functions, all this gives them substantial bargaining power over suppliers. This structural cost advantage is the very foundation of their price leadership strategy. It allows them to offer those fair prices while still maintaining healthy margins.
Right, the integration feeding the pricing.
Exactly. But perhaps their most potent and honestly most difficult to replicate advantage is their operational excellence and productivity. This is where Fielmann truly shines, and it's kind of mind-blowing. A typical Fielmann store sells over 35 pairs of glasses per day.
35 a day.
Per store. Now, to put that in perspective, this is over 17 times higher than the average independent optician in Germany who sells fewer than 2 pairs daily.
17 times. That's insane efficiency.
It's extreme per store productivity, and it generates vastly superior revenue and cash flow per square foot compared to their rivals. This highly efficient operational engine is precisely what funds their low prices. Competitors simply cannot match Fielmann's prices sustainably without completely destroying their own profitability because they lack this underlying efficiency and volume. This creates that powerful virtuous cycle we talked about, where superior efficiency funds low prices, which in turn drives high customer volume, which further enhances efficiency. This continuous feedback loop forms the core of their deep economic moat.
So the big question for you, listening now, is Can this highly tuned, incredibly efficient European model, perfected over decades, be successfully exported? Can it work in new and different markets like the United States? Because the U.S. market certainly has its own unique complexities, doesn't it? Okay, let's talk numbers then. How has Fielmann's financial performance actually looked over time, especially with all these strategic shifts and ambitious plans in motion? Has it been a smooth upward curve?
Well, Fielmann certainly has a track record of steady growth and profitability historically. However, what's really crucial to understand about the recent period is that the company has pivoted towards a more aggressive, investment-led expansion phase, and this strategic shift has had a deliberate impact on short-term financial metrics, particularly on profitability. But it's all aimed at establishing a much higher, more sustainable long-term growth trajectory and, frankly, a larger global footprint. So it hasn't been entirely smooth sailing on the profit line, but the bumps were intentional, part of the plan.
A calculated dip, perhaps.
Exactly. The company has consistently demonstrated a strong ability to grow its top line, its sales. After growing consolidated sales by a solid 4.8% in 2022, the pace quickened significantly. It jumped to 12.0% growth in 2023 and then accelerated further to 14.9% in 2024.
That's quite an acceleration.
It really is. And it isn't accidental. It directly reflects the successful execution of their Vision 2025 strategy, which, remember, focused heavily on internationalization and digitalization. This growth combines strong performance in their newer European markets with a significant impact from those major U.S. acquisitions coming online. Fielmann surpassed the 2 billion external sales threshold for the first time ever in 2022.
2 billion.
And they reached approximately 2.3 billion in consolidated sales in 2024. This isn't just incremental growth, it's a significant leap in scale. It indicates a successful shift from maybe mature single-digit organic growth in core markets to a more robust, multifaceted expansion strategy.
Okay, growth is great. Impressive numbers there. But what about the bottom line? How has their profitability fared during this period of transformation and investment? Did it keep pace with that top-line growth?
Their profitability profile shows a really interesting pattern, a period of, as you said, deliberate investment and margin compression, followed by a strong and actually quite swift recovery. Their adjusted EBITDA margin, which was quite high at 25.3% back in 2019, it declined to a trough of 19.3% in 2022.
Okay, that's a noticeable drop.
It is. But here's the key. This wasn't really a sign of operational weakness. Instead, it was a direct result of conscious strategic decisions. These included implementing those anti-cyclical price reductions in Germany to gain market share, making significant investments in employee salaries to secure talent in a competitive labor market, and deliberately absorbing broader inflationary cost pressures rather than passing them all on immediately.
So that dip in profitability was more of a planned strategic investment rather than an indicator of operational struggle.
Exactly. It was a calculated move to strengthen their long-term position. And the subsequent turnaround has been swift and effective, really validating that strategic investment. The adjusted EBITDA margin rebounded strongly to 20.8% in 2023 and then further to 21.7% in 2024.
Nice recovery.
It is. And this impressive recovery was driven by several factors working together. The implementation of a group-wide cost leadership program focused on efficiency and expense control, an improved product mix with a higher share of more profitable progressive lenses, and that robust growth in their high-margin hearing aids business. In fact, profitability in their core European segment is even stronger, reaching 22.8% in 2024. That shows the underlying health of their legacy operations. So yeah, that short-term dip in profitability wasn't a sign of trouble, but a strategic investment that seems to be paying off.
How efficiently are they actually using their capital to generate returns?
Yeah.
You know, the investments they're making. And what about their debt levels? Especially with all these major acquisitions, that sounds like it could fundamentally change their financial structure.
Well, their capital efficiency, which we often measure using return on capital employed or ROCE, it basically tells us how well they're turning their investments into profit that recovered strongly. It went from 10.9% in 2022 up to a solid 14.0% in 2024. And analyst forecasts suggest it could even rise above 17% in 2025. This clearly indicates that their recent growth investments are truly paying off and generating tangible shareholder value.
Good sign.
Definitely. Now, regarding debt, Historically, Fielmann was known for its extremely conservative financial profile. They were described as virtually debt-free as recently as 2014.
Right, very conservative German company stereotype, maybe?
Perhaps. But that has fundamentally changed. They are now deliberately using their balance sheet and taking on debt to finance their ambitious M&A-led expansion. Net financial debt rose significantly to $670 million in 2024, specifically to fund these acquisitions.
Wow, $670 million. That sounds like a profound change in philosophy for a traditionally conservative company. What does that mean for their overall risk profile?
It absolutely is a profound shift. It's a move from maintaining, you know, a fortress-like balance sheet, primarily focused on organic growth and dividends, to one that is actively deployed as a strategic weapon to accelerate external growth. Now, while this does, by definition, increase their financial risk profile, it also significantly enhances their potential growth rate.
Right.
It allows them to seize large market opportunities like the U.S. entry that wouldn't really be accessible otherwise. It's a strategic trade-off, essentially, taking calculated risks to pursue massive growth opportunities on a global scale.
Okay, with all these significant investments, expansion, acquisitions, technology, are they still generating enough cash, enough to fuel all of this and maintain financial flexibility? Where's the money coming from?
Yes. Despite the elevated investment levels, Fielmann consistently generates strong cash flow from its core operations. They themselves describe it as having a superior cash generation ability. And this robust cash flow is the fundamental financial engine that provides the company with the flexibility needed. Flexibility to fund its ongoing capital expenditures like new stores and tech upgrades, while also maintaining shareholder returns through dividends and, critically, financing that ambitious acquisition strategy. Their free cash flow yield was forecasted to be a healthy 6.6% for 2024. That underscores their robust cash generative characteristics. This reliable and substantial cash flow is really the underlying strength that enables all of their strategic moves and provides a crucial buffer against potential economic headwinds or unexpected challenges. It's the fuel in the tank.
Okay, this period, 2022 to 2024, it really sounds like it's been a whirlwind for Fielmann, just marked by significant strategic shifts. What were the most impactful events and changes that really defined this transformative era for the company?
It was truly one of the most transformative periods in Fielmann's entire history, characterized by multiple complex initiatives being executed simultaneously, which is always a challenge. They not only had to navigate those challenging macroeconomic conditions, remember the recessionary pressures in Europe,
right,
but they also executed that bold strategic pivot into the North American market, accelerated their digital transformation initiatives, and successfully managed important changes in their leadership structure. It was a period of intense, multifaceted strategic execution, no doubt about it.
Let's dig a bit deeper into that U.S. entry then.
Mm.
How did they actually accomplish this major geographical expansion? And what's the scale of this move in such a huge and competitive market?
Well, their entry into the United States, which, remember, is the world's largest optical market, valued at approximately USD 66 billion, wasn't done by building from scratch. That would take forever. Instead, it was accomplished through two very significant acquisitions. The first was SVS Vision, which they acquired in September 2023. And the second, even larger move, was the acquisition of Shopko Optical in July 2024. This was actually described as the largest transaction in the company's entire history.
The largest ever. Okay. That signals its strategic importance.
Absolutely. And the scale of their ambition.
So they essentially bought their way into the U.S. market. What kind of immediate presence does this actually give them? Are they a major player now?
Yeah. Well, these acquisitions immediately established a substantial U.S. presence for Fielmann. They form the basis of a new entity called Fielmann USA, and this new arm is now positioned as a leading optical retailer, specifically in the upper Midwest region of the U.S. The U.S. operations contributed approximately $200 million to group sales in 2024. So that already represents a significant portion of their overall M&A-driven revenue growth, showing how quickly these acquisitions have impacted their top line.
Okay, $200 million impact already.
Yeah. However, this is very much a high-risk, high-reward strategy, no question. The U.S. market is undeniably attractive due to its sheer size and its fragmented nature, which offers consolidation opportunities. But it also presents unique challenges. For example, the U.S. has a really complex insurance and co-payment system that is vastly different from the healthcare models common in Europe.
Sure.
That requires significant adaptation.
What difference, yeah.
And the initial financial profile of the U.S. business reflects this challenge. Its adjusted EBITDA margin in 2024 was only 9.9%.
Only 9.9% compared to what in Europe?
Compared to the impressive 22.8% margin they achieved in their established European operations. Less than half.
Wow, that's a big gap.
It is. So the central task for management now, and really the key determinant of the long-term success of these acquisitions, will be their ability to implement Filmon's highly efficient operating model, that German efficiency we talked about, to drive significant margin expansion in the U.S. business. This is arguably the biggest open question for you to consider. Can they truly Germanize the U.S. operations for efficiency and bring those margins up?
It's pretty remarkable that they expanded so aggressively into the U.S. during a period when Europe, especially Germany, was facing those challenging economic conditions you mentioned. How did they manage to execute such a bold strategy amidst those macroeconomic headwinds? It seems counterintuitive.
You've hit on a key point there. Against that backdrop of recessionary conditions in Germany and persistently low consumer confidence across Europe, Filmon's value-oriented business model proved remarkably resilient. Almost countercyclical, actually. Their established reputation as a price leader allowed them to capture market share from competitors as consumers naturally became more price sensitive and sought out better value during that economic uncertainty.
People trade down to value.
Exactly. This ability to attract customers when others struggled is a core strength. Concurrently, the company proactively managed the inflationary pressures on its cost base through the rigorous implementation of its group-wide cost leadership program. This program focused intensely on enhancing operational efficiency and controlling expenses right across the board. This proactive cost management was a key factor in the successful expansion of their European EBITDA margin during this very challenging period. This really highlights a fundamental strategic strength of Filmon. Their business model is inherently countercyclical. While other retailers might struggle during economic downturns, Filmon's focus on value, coupled with its operational efficiency, allows it to not only maintain but actually gain market share. This sets them up for an even stronger position when economic conditions eventually improve.
We talked about digitalization earlier as a key pillar of their Vision 2025. How did that specifically accelerate during this 2022-2024 period? And what kind of results did they see? Did it pay off?
Filmon continued to make really significant strides in its digital transformation during this period, truly going beyond, I think, what many might have expected. Their strategic investments in their e-commerce platform and broader digital technologies yielded remarkably strong results. Online sales grew at rates that significantly outpaced the broader market. For instance, e-commerce revenue grew by an impressive 39% year over year in the first 9 months of 2022.
39% year over year.
Yeah, and it continued its strong trajectory to ultimately surpass that 100 million mark in 2023. Now, this performance is particularly telling when you remember that the broader German e-commerce market actually contracted by 12% in 2023. It really showcases Filmon's effective digital execution and the attractiveness of their integrated omni-channel approach.
Clearly hitting the right notes with consumers.
Seems so. Furthermore, to bolster their technological capabilities for the future and ensure they stay at the forefront of innovation, the company's venture capital arm, Filmon Ventures, made some key strategic investments. These included an investment in Deep Optics, an Israeli deep tech company specializing in smart glasses technology. So they're looking ahead to future forms of eyewear.
Smart glasses, interesting.
And notably, they made a multi-million euro investment for a 20% stake in Fitting Box. They're a global leader in augmented reality, or AR, virtual try-on solutions for eyewear. This demonstrates that Filmon isn't just, you know, digitizing its current processes. They are actively investing in and helping shape the future of eyewear technology and the overall customer experience.
Okay, finally on this period, what about changes in leadership during this incredibly transformative time? How has the management team evolved to steer the company through such a pivotal era? Any major shakeups?
This period certainly saw important changes in Filmon's leadership structure, changes that reflect the company's strategic evolution towards a more global focus. While it was a momentous event, the company's visionary founder, Günther Filmon, passed away in January 2024 at the age of 84. A huge figure.
Right, the founder passing is always significant.
Absolutely. However, the crucial generational leadership transition to his son, Mark Filmon, had actually already been successfully completed in prior years. This ensured strategic continuity at the very top. This proactive planning allowed the company to accelerate its strategic evolution pretty seamlessly under the younger Filmon's leadership.
Good planning there.
Very much so. And to further align the management team with its new global ambitions and increasingly complex operations, several key appointments were made. Stefan Bajer was appointed Chief Financial Officer in January 2024, bringing robust financial leadership, Dr. Bastian Kurber took on the role of chief sales officer, overseeing sales, marketing, and expansion. And in a highly symbolic and, I think, strategic move, Peter Loathes was appointed chief operating officer in February 2025. He became the very first American to join the Fielman Group Management Board.
First American on the board. That sends a message.
It powerfully underscores the company's deep commitment to the success of its new U.S. operations and its seriousness about becoming truly global. This clearly shows that even with the passing of a legendary founder, the company has planned for strong, dynamic leadership and a clear path forward, integrating new perspectives crucial for its global expansion. The management team has demonstrated impressive execution overall.
Okay, looking ahead now. What's Fielman's roadmap for continued growth? Where exactly are they heading with these ambitious plans, especially with this new Vision 2035 now on the horizon?
Well, their future growth is guided by these clear and, frankly, incredibly ambitious long-term strategies, particularly the recently unveiled Vision 2035. It's really a multi-pronged approach.
Yeah.
It focuses on expanding their geographic footprint further, innovating their omnichannel capabilities, enhancing their product mix with higher value offerings, and continuing to deepen that crucial vertical integration. Each of these pillars is designed to build on their existing strengths and really propel them to new heights in the coming decade.
So it sounds like the U.S. is clearly the main immediate focus for geographic expansion, right, given those recent big acquisitions.
You're right. The successful integration and the robust expansion of their newly acquired U.S. business is indeed positioned as the primary engine of future growth. No question. The immediate priority there is applying Fielman's proven operational best practices to the SVS Vision and Shopko Optical networks. The goal is to drive that margin expansion from their current lower base and to accelerate organic growth within those existing operations.
Get those U.S. margins up.
That's job one. Beyond the U.S., however, they still see substantial white space opportunities, as they call them, in existing European growth markets. This includes countries like Spain and Italy, where they've already established a significant presence, and especially the promising markets of Eastern Europe, think Poland and the Czech Republic, where they've already demonstrated strong double-digit growth. This suggests a very deliberate, multi-front approach to internationalization. They're leveraging both large-scale acquisitions and organic expansion in promising regions simultaneously.
What's the next step for their digital strategy then? How are they planning to further evolve that seamless customer experience you mentioned?
Fielman is absolutely committed to becoming a leading global omni-channel platform. They want to move beyond just having, you know, an online store and a physical store to truly creating a blended experience where customers can effortlessly move between online and in-store channels for whatever part of the journey suits them. This means continued significant investment in their e-commerce capabilities. But more excitingly, perhaps, it involves the deeper integration of advanced technologies like those augmented reality AR virtual try-on solutions from Fitting Box, the company they invested in.
Right, the virtual try-on tech.
Exactly. The overarching goal is to provide a truly unique and superior customer experience, one that combines the unparalleled convenience and accessibility of online shopping with the essential quality, trust, and professional service that only their physical stores and expert opticians can provide. This is how they plan to effectively digitize the eyewear industry without compromising on those critical medical and service components. It's how they aim to stay far ahead of pure online competitors.
Are they changing what they sell? Or maybe focusing on specific types of products to boost both growth and profitability?
Absolutely. A key lever for both revenue growth and margin enhancement is their strategic product mix management. They're not just aiming to sell more, they're aiming to sell more valuable things. First, there's a strong focus on premiumization. This involves increasing the share of higher value products like progressive lenses, which offer multiple vision corrections in one lens and carry higher margins. This was a noted driver of growth in 2024.
Selling better glasses, basically.
Essentially, yes, and more profitable ones. Second, the hearing aids business remains a strategic priority. This is a high-growth, high-margin segment, remember. They'll continue expanding their in-store hearing aid studios to capitalize on demographic demand and leverage those existing operational synergies within their optical stores. And third, a really significant shift is their expansion into primary eye care services. This involves rolling out services like the Eye Health Checkup across their European network. They've already performed over 130,000 such services since they started.
Moving beyond just selling glasses.
Exactly. This initiative not only creates a valuable new revenue stream, but also deepens customer relationships. It positions Fielman as a comprehensive healthcare provider, rather than just a retail store. This indicates a clear move up the value chain from simple product sales towards essential health services.
M&A, mergers and acquisitions, seems to be a huge part of their strategy, particularly with that U.S. entry. Is that likely to continue being a core pillar going forward?
Yes, M&A remains a core pillar of their growth strategy, no doubt about it. They'll continue to pursue a disciplined approach of acquiring leading regional players in large, fragmented markets. This allows them to accelerate their internationalization, much like their successful entry into the U.S. market with SVS Vision and ShopGo Optical. It's a proven way for them to gain significant scale and market share rapidly.
Buy versus build, essentially.
For market entry, yes. In parallel with this external growth, Fielmann is continuously deepening its vertical integration to further enhance its already significant cost and quality advantages. A notable recent example of this is the $65 million development of a new high-tech manufacturing and logistics facility in Chomutov in the Czech Republic.
$65 million on a new facility.
Yeah, and this is part of a broader $100 million investment program specifically aimed at improving production lead times, further reducing costs, and even lowering their carbon footprint. This is how they intend to maintain and enhance their competitive cost advantage on a larger global scale as they grow.
So what's the ultimate goal then? Their overarching Vision 2035 that ties all these growth levers together, how ambitious is it really?
Well, having largely achieved the ambitious goals of Vision 2025, especially around internationalization and digitalization, Fielmann has now introduced Vision 2035. And this new, bolder plan envisions their complete evolution into a truly global provider of comprehensive vision and hearing care. And they've put very concrete, very ambitious financial targets behind this vision. They aim to reach approximately $4 billion in global sales.
$4 billion, doubling roughly from now.
Pretty much. And achieve an adjusted EBITDA margin of approximately 25% at the group level by 2030.
25% margin target too. Wow.
It's an incredibly ambitious target, especially considering their current scale and the integration challenges ahead. It clearly signals their intent to become a truly dominant global player in the eyewear and hearing care industries. It speaks to a profound confidence in their business model's scalability and transferability.
Okay, so how is Fielmann actually managing its money? How are they funding all this ambitious growth and strategic expansion while still ensuring they're rewarding their shareholders? Where does the cash go?
Fielmann's capital allocation strategy has definitely evolved in recent years, as we touched upon. It's moved from a very conservative, primarily dividend-focused approach to a much more dynamic model, one that clearly prioritizes funding these strategic growth initiatives, particularly M&A, while still aiming to provide consistent returns to shareholders. And this entire strategy is underpinned by their strong and very reliable cash flow generation. That's what provides the necessary financial flexibility to do all this. Their capital expenditures, or CapEx, the money they spend on long-term assets, are primarily directed towards three key strategic areas. These reflect where they see the most value creation for the future. First, network expansion and modernization. This involves investing in opening new stores in high-growth markets like Eastern Europe and continuously modernizing their existing store base across their network to enhance the customer experience and operational efficiency. Keep things fresh.
All right. Got to keep the stores up to date.
Absolutely. Second, digitalization and technology. They're pouring significant investment into enhancing their omnichannel platform, expanding their e-commerce capabilities, and notably, taking those strategic stakes in cutting-edge technology companies like Fittingbox for AR and Deep Optics for smart glasses through their Fielmann Ventures arm. This shows a real commitment to future-proofing their business. And third, vertical integration. They are making major investments in manufacturing and logistics infrastructure, like that new $65 million facility in the Czech Republic we mentioned. This is designed to strengthen their supply chain, reduce costs, and improve production lead times, reinforcing their core competitive advantage. These capital investments are absolutely foundational to executing their long-term growth strategy.
Are they still a reliable dividend payer then, despite this increased focus on investments and, well, debt-funded acquisitions? Has that policy changed much?
They do indeed have a long and commendable history of being a reliable dividend payer. That's been part of their appeal. However, as part of the strategic shift, back in 2023, they explicitly announced an adjusted dividend policy to accelerate strategic investments.
Adjusted policy, okay.
Yeah. This signaled a clear prioritization that M&A activities and internal growth projects were now the top priority for capital allocation, even potentially over increasing dividends at the fastest possible rate. Growth first. Despite this stated shift towards growth, following a successful fiscal year in 2024, the management and supervisory boards actually recommended an increased dividend of 1.15 per share. That was up from 1.0 in the prior year.
So still increasing, but maybe cautiously.
Exactly. The payout ratio is typically maintained at a substantial level, estimated to be around 55-60% of net income. And the dividend yield, based on recent prices, is approximately 2.1%. This means they are carefully balancing reinvestment for robust future growth with a commitment to providing consistent, albeit perhaps slower growing, shareholder returns. It seems like a pragmatic approach to funding their ambitious vision.
How much capital have they really poured into these major acquisitions, particularly their entry into the U.S. market? It sounds like a massive outlay.
Mergers and acquisitions have, without a doubt, become the most significant use of capital for Phelan in this 2022-2024 period. They have aggressively deployed their balance sheet to fund their strategic entry into the vast U.S. market. For example, they spent over $141 million on M&A in 2023 alone.
Over $140 million just in 23.
Just in that 1 year, primarily for SVS Vision. The subsequent acquisition of Shopko Optical was even larger, though the exact figure wasn't specified in the same way in our source. These acquisitions represent a substantial capital outlay and a very clear prioritization of inorganic growth as a means to achieve rapid strategic scale in new, highly fragmented markets. The success of integrating these large U.S. assets, which means effectively harmonizing their operations, IT systems, and corporate cultures, will be a critical determinant of this capital allocation strategy's long-term value creation. This integration risk is certainly something you, the listener, should watch closely, as it's key to the payoff of this significant investment.
We mentioned their shift from being nearly debt-free for many years. How are they managing that balance sheet now, with increased leverage needed to fuel their growth? Are they handling it okay?
The company has indeed transitioned from its historically nearly debt-free posture to one of, well, modest leverage, strategically taking on debt to facilitate its aggressive growth ambitions. And this approach was further supported and, you could say, validated in May 2025 by the successful issuance of their inaugural 275 million Schuldschein.
The Schuldschein, right? Yeah. The German debt instrument.
Exactly. It's essentially a private loan, often favored for its flexibility and lower costs compared to public bonds. The key takeaway here is that this issuance was significantly oversubscribed, meaning there was strong demand from investors wanting to lend them money. Very good sign. This allowed Phelan to price the different tranches or portions of the loan at the lower end of the marketing range, which effectively improved their capital structure and reduced their overall cost of capital. This demonstrates both management's proactive and astute approach to financing its growth, and also, crucially, strong investor confidence in the company's credit profile and strategic vision, even with an increased but still quite manageable level of debt.
Okay, let's talk about who's steering this ship and how the company is governed, especially given its unique position as a publicly listed but family-controlled business. That always adds an interesting dynamic.
Phelan operates as a publicly listed family business, you're right. And this particular structure heavily influences its management style and its corporate governance. It's generally characterized by a deep, long-term strategic vision, a notably stable leadership team, and a strong, deeply ingrained, customer-centric corporate culture that really dates back to its origins with Gunther Phelan. This blend of public transparency and private family control creates a unique operational dynamic. The leadership team has truly demonstrated its quality by successfully navigating a crucial generational transition, which is often a tricky point for family businesses. The visionary founder, Gunther Phelan, a towering figure in German retail, gradually handed over control to his son, Mark Phelan, who is now the CEO. And this transition has been notably smooth and very well planned. The company actually accelerated its strategic evolution under the younger Phelan's leadership. This speaks volumes about the continuity and strength of their succession planning.
That's good to hear. And it sounds like they're actively building out the team to specifically reflect their new, much broader global ambitions, adding external expertise.
Yes, absolutely. The management board has been strategically strengthened to manage increasingly international and complex operations. Key appointments include Stefan Bajer, who was appointed CFO in January 2024, bringing robust financial leadership. Dr. Bastian Korber serves as Chief Sales Officer, overseeing sales, marketing, and expansion efforts. And then there was that highly symbolic and strategic move, appointing Peter Loews as Chief Operating Officer in February 2025. He became the very first American to join the Fielman Group Management Board.
Right, the American COO, big signal.
Huge signal. It powerfully underscores the company's deep commitment to the success of its new U.S. operations and its seriousness about global expansion. The management team as a whole has demonstrated impressive execution, successfully navigating significant challenges like the pandemic and macroeconomic headwinds, and delivering on ambitious goals. It speaks to a high level of operational competence and adaptability.
How does being a family-controlled public company specifically affect its corporate governance practices? Does it lean more towards traditional family values or more towards public company transparency? Or both?
Fielman's governance really reflects this dual identity, balancing both aspects quite carefully. The Fielman Family Foundation, primarily through an entity called Corva SE, holds a significant majority stake, approximately 72.9% of the company's shares.
Almost three quarters controlled by the family.
Exactly. This controlling stake ensures a powerful long-term perspective and considerable strategic stability. It effectively insulates management from short-term market pressures or, you know, activist investor demands that might derail long-term plans. However, the flip side is that it also results in a relatively small free float. Only 27.1% of the shares are readily available for trading on the public market. This can sometimes impact liquidity for certain large institutional investors.
Right. Less stock easily traded.
Precisely. Despite the family control, the company adheres strictly to the German Commercial Code for Corporate Governance, emphasizing transparency and open dialogue with all stakeholders. They operate with a two-tier board structure, which is standard in Germany, a management board responsible for day-to-day operations, and a supervisory board providing oversight. Crucially, the supervisory board includes employee representatives as mandated by German corporate law.
Employee reps on the board. Interesting.
Yes, it's a key feature of German governance. Fielman also has a comprehensive code of conduct that applies to both its employees and suppliers, emphasizing respect for laws, human rights, and environmental protection. Furthermore, management compensation systems are transparently disclosed and are specifically designed to align the interests of the executive team with long-term value creation for all shareholders, not just the family. So for you, the listener, this offers a unique and interesting blend. The stability and long-term vision often associated with family control, combined with the transparency and accountability requirements of a publicly listed company.
Okay, every company, no matter how strong, faces risks. What are the key headwinds Fielman might encounter as it executes these ambitious plans, especially this massive global expansion? What could go wrong?
You're absolutely right. While Fielman certainly holds a strong market position and boasts a resilient business model, it is, like any large enterprise, exposed to a range of strategic, operational, and financial risks. And to their credit, the company itself transparently outlines these in its annual reporting, which is generally a good sign of corporate governance. Understanding these risks provides a necessary balanced perspective on their ambitious path forward. Okay, first, in terms of strategic and market risks, economic sensitivity. While vision care is largely a non-discretionary healthcare need, the business is not entirely immune to severe economic downturns. During really tough recessions, consumers might delay purchasing new eyewear, they might opt for cheaper products, or simply forego buying those secondary pairs, which impact sales and margin.
People might put off that second pair.
Exactly. Second, intense competition. The optical retail market is, as we've discussed, highly competitive. Fielman faces formidable pressure from the global scale and extensive brand portfolio of EssilorLuxottica at the high end. The aggressive value proposition of large private chains like Specsavers and the growing, though perhaps less profitable, presence of online retailers. Any significant increase in promotional activity or intensified price competition from rivals could potentially erode Fielman's profitability. And third, market saturation. In its core DACH markets, Fielman already holds a very, very high market share. This means that future growth in these mature regions will naturally be more limited and harder to achieve organically. This makes the successful execution of their international expansion strategy even more critical, as it's really the primary avenue for significant future growth. The pressure is on for international success.
What would you say is the biggest operational risk, especially given their recent massive moves into the U.S.?
U.S. integration risk is arguably the most significant near to medium term operational risk for Fielman, no question. The successful integration of their newly acquired U.S. assets, SVS Vision and Shopko Optical, is a hugely complex undertaking. You're talking about potentially hundreds of stores. There are significant challenges in harmonizing disparate IT systems, integrating supply chains, merging potentially different corporate cultures, and streamlining store operations across a new continent and a very different market environment.
Yeah, merging cultures can be tough.
Extremely tough. Any difficulties in these areas could lead to higher than expected costs and significant delays in achieving those anticipated margin synergies we talked about. Critically, a failure to successfully adapt the highly efficient Fielmann operating model to the unique characteristics of the U.S. healthcare and retail environment. While that could result in the U.S. business underperforming expectations and potentially becoming a drag on overall group profitability, this is truly the ultimate test of their vaunted operational excellence and their ability to export their successful model. This is definitely an area for you to watch very closely for updates and signs of progress. Beyond the U.S. integration, other operational risks include supply chain disruption. As a vertically integrated manufacturer and retailer with global operations, Fielmann is inherently exposed to global supply chain risks. Think geopolitical events, tariffs, shipping issues, or production stoppages, and skilled labor shortage. Fielmann's continued growth, particularly its store expansion plans and its emphasis on high-quality service, is heavily dependent on its ability to attract and retain qualified opticians and acousticians. A broader shortage of skilled labor in these specialized fields could constrain their expansion plans and potentially lead to increased wage pressures impacting profitability.
What about technological disruption? Is the eyewear industry vulnerable to rapid tech shifts that could upset the status quo?
Indeed, technology poses both opportunities and risks in this space, online competition. While Fielmann has built a robust omnichannel presence, the threat from pure-play online retailers and those direct-to-consumer DTC brands persists. A significant technological breakthrough in areas like online refraction, doing eye exams remotely, or highly accurate virtual fitting could potentially erode some of the inherent competitive advantage that brick-and-mortar networks currently hold.
If someone cracks online eye exams reliably,
that could be a game changer. And technological obsolescence. The emergence of truly disruptive technologies like advanced smart glasses that integrate computing power directly into eyewear, or perhaps other entirely new vision correction solutions, these could fundamentally alter the eyewear market as we know it. Now, while Fielmann is proactively investing in this area, for instance, through its stake in Deep Optics, which specializes in smart glasses technology, a failure to keep pace with rapid innovation could still put them at a disadvantage down the line. Finally, we have some broader financial and other risks to consider. Currency exposure. With an increasing share of its sales and costs denominated in foreign currencies, particularly the U.S. dollar, USD, and Swiss franc, CHF, given its international expansion, Fielmann's reported earnings are naturally more exposed to fluctuations in currency exchange rates. Significant unfavorable currency movements could impact their reported profitability and key person dependency. While the generational transition from founder Günther Fielmann to his son Mark was very well managed, the company's strategy and its unique culture are still strongly influenced by the Fielmann family. Any unexpected changes in key leadership roles, particularly within the founding family, could potentially introduce uncertainty and impact strategic execution. So understanding these various risks provides that necessary balanced perspective on the company's ambitious path forward and allows for a more informed assessment of its future prospects.
Okay, finally, let's try to put it all together. How does the market actually value Fielmann, considering its strengths, its ambitious growth plans, and all these potential risks we've just discussed? What are the numbers telling us?
Well, Fielmann's valuation definitely reflects its position as a high-quality market leader, but one that is currently undergoing a significant and very deliberate transformation. Its trading multiples generally reflect a premium compared to many other traditional retail peers. And this premium is typically justified by its strong profitability, its consistent cash generation, and its clear growth prospects. However, these multiples also implicitly incorporate the inherent risks associated with its ambitious international expansion plans, particularly the execution risk in the U.S. So just to be clear, we're not giving a recommendation here, but rather explaining what the numbers and the market context seem to tell us about how the company is perceived by investors. Okay, based on recent market data, Fielmann trades at a trailing 12-month TTM price to earnings, or PE, ratio somewhere in the range of 28x to 30x.
28 to 30 times earnings. Okay.
And now, what's interesting is that its forward PE ratio, which is based on analyst earnings estimates for the upcoming fiscal year, is lower, typically in the range of 21x to 23x. This lower forward multiple often reflects market expectations of continued and strong earnings growth. If those earnings materialize, the PE naturally comes down.
Right, the E gets bigger.
Exactly. Looking at enterprise value, which accounts for debt, their enterprise value to EBITDA, of the EBITDA multiple, for 2024 stands at approximately 11.3x. Historically, while these multiples have seen some fluctuation, they consistently place Fielman in the category of a high-quality, growth-oriented company within the retail and healthcare sectors. It indicates the market is generally willing to pay a premium for its consistent performance and strategic vision.
How do these multiples compare to its major competitors, especially those truly global giants like EssilorLuxottica? That should give us some critical context, right?
Absolutely. A comparison with publicly traded peers provides essential context and highlights Fielman's relative position. Fielman trades at a significant valuation discount to global industry giants like EssilorLuxottica. EssilorLuxottica's PE is around 51.9x, and its EBITDA is around 20.4x. Much higher multiple.
What's the difference there?
Yeah, and also compared to Japan's Hoya Corporation, PE 36.9x, EBITDA 23.6x, this valuation discount for Fielman likely reflects several factors. Its relatively smaller scale compared to these global titans, its historical concentration in the European market before the full impact of its U.S. expansion hits the numbers, and perhaps a perceived lower long-term growth profile compared to these highly diversified global leaders with their vast brand portfolios. Compared to a U.S.-based medical device company like the Cooper Companies, Inc., PE 35.4x, Fielman's PE multiple is still lower. But crucially, Fielman commands a substantial premium over those smaller, online-focused, and currently unprofitable competitors like Mr. Specs, whose negative earnings result in meaningless valuation multiples.
Right. Can't compare PE if there's no E.
Exactly. This stark difference highlights the market's clear appreciation for Fielman's proven profitability, its established business model, and its robust cash flow generation. It distinguishes it from less established, online-only players. So for you, this shows that while Fielman is clearly valued as a quality company, there's still a perceived gap between its current valuation and that of the absolute global titans. This gap may represent either an opportunity for future re-rating if they execute well, or simply a reflection of their different market positions and stages of global development.
Beyond these comparative multiples, what are the big fundamental things that would truly drive a more in-depth valuation of Fielman? If you were building a full financial model, what would you focus on?
Right. If you were to build a comprehensive discounted cash flow or DCF model for Fielman, trying to value it based on its future cash generation, the key assumptions and drivers of future value would clearly revolve around a few critical factors. First, revenue growth. In the short to medium term, this would be primarily driven by the full consolidation of those recently acquired U.S. businesses and continued market share gains across its European operations, particularly in the growth markets. Long term, revenue growth would be underpinned by those stable demographic tailwinds, aging population needing more vision and hearing correction, and the continued expansion of their high growth hearing aid and primary eye care businesses. Second, and absolutely critically, margin expansion. A major variable here is the pace and extent of adjusted EBITDA margin improvement in the U.S. operations. Can they lift the U.S. margin from its current approximate 10% level towards that much higher European level of around 23%? Successfully doing that would be a monumental value driver. Remember, the company's own long-term target is an impressive group-level margin of 25% by 2030, so achieving that is key.
Getting the U.S. profit machine running like the European one?
That's the goal. Third, capital expenditures. CapEx would need to remain elevated in the medium term to support the ongoing store expansion, those crucial technological upgrades for their omnichannel platform, and the investments in their manufacturing and logistics facilities. You need to factor that spending in. And finally, the discount rate, WACC. The weighted average cost of capital used to discount those future cash flows back to today's value. It would be influenced by factors like German sovereign bond yields as a proxy for the risk-free rate, an appropriate equity risk premium for developed European markets, and the company's relatively low, but now increasing, cost of debt. These are really the levers that will truly determine Fielman's intrinsic long-term value in any DCF model. And just quickly on the dividend again, as of mid-2025, Fielman's forward dividend of 1.15 per share provides a dividend yield of approximately 2.1%. Now, while this offers a modest income component to investors, it's really important to recognize that the primary investment thesis for Fielman is centered squarely on its potential for significant capital appreciation. This appreciation is expected to be driven by its robust earnings growth and its ambitious strategic expansion, particularly in the U.S. market. Rather than its dividend yield alone, it's fundamentally a company positioned for growth, not primarily for income. Hashtag tag outro.
So we've taken a really deep dive into Fielmann today, from its origins as a dominant German optical leader to his ambitious and, frankly, transformative journey into becoming a truly global omnichannel healthcare provider. We've seen how its deeply ingrained customer-centric philosophy, its strong commitment to price leadership, and its remarkable operational efficiency have collectively forged a powerful and durable economic moat.
We've analyzed the robust and continuously evolving European eyewear market. We've understood Fielmann's strategic M&A-driven expansion into the critical U.S. market and examined the fascinating financial journey of a company willing to strategically invest in its future, even if that means navigating some short-term margin compression for those potential long-term gains.
This company is clearly a master, it seems, of blending the traditional with the cutting edge. Seamlessly integrating the essential physical store experience with the convenience and reach of digital channels.
Which raises, I think, an important question for you to consider as we wrap up. As healthcare and retail continue their inevitable convergence, and as technology rapidly advances, can Fielmann's unique blend of deep operational control, a value-driven strategy, and its family-controlled long-term vision not just adapt, but truly redefine the global vision and hearing care landscape? Especially as it navigates the vast, complex, and potentially lucrative American market.
Something profound to ponder as you reflect on this deep dive. Thank you for joining us on the deep dive. We hope you feel incredibly well informed and ready to explore further.